In a book of essays entitled, It Was on Fire When I Lay Down on It, Robert Fulghum tells of being a minister around Mother's Day. He writes, for 25 years of my life, the second Sunday in May was trouble. Being a minister of a church, I was obliged in some way to address the subject of Mother's Day. It could not be avoided. I tried that. Mind you, the congregation was quite open-minded, actually, and gave me free rein in the pulpit. But when it came to the second Sunday in May, the expectations were summarized in the words of one of my more outspoken women in the church. I'm bringing my mother to church on Mother's Day, Reverend, and you can talk about anything you want, but it better include mother and it better be good. Now, there are certainly lots to be said that are good about mothers. I was reminded about a book by actor Paul Reiser called Couplehood, and he was reflecting on one of the qualities of mothers that he was particularly intrigued by. He tells of seeing a kid who got some food from lunch on its cheek, and you know how it goes. The mother licks her fingers and wipes it off. And Reiser, reflecting on that tendency of mothers, said, you know, if that kid could talk, they'd bring it up and say, hey, don't do that. It's revolting. Would you like it if somebody did that to you? Probably most of us who grew up with mothers that licked their fingers and wiped stuff off our faces at one point said, I'll never do that to my kid. And I bet some of you have even when you promised you wouldn't. Reiser, reflecting on that, says it may be disgusting, but it works. In fact, he's convinced there's something in mother's saliva that's different and cleans like nobody's business. He says all women, when they give birth, their enzymes change and their saliva becomes like Ajax. It'll clean anything. A baby's face, a countertop, a Buick. He says if you could get enough mothers together to spit on a car, you could wash it in 30 to 40 minutes. No problem. He says there's times he's tempted when he has a stain to walk up to a woman and say, hey, are you a mother? Good, would you spit on this? I can't seem to get it out any other way. If I were to ask you about qualities of a good and wonderful mother, I bet mother's saliva probably would not be at the top of the list. But what are the qualities in our culture that we celebrate about motherhood? Understanding, of course, no mother is perfect. And across this room, some of you have had wonderful mothers and some of you have had struggles with your mothers. And yet, probably all of us have in our mind some image of motherhood that we celebrate or long for or identify. And it's fascinating to see that some of the traditional images we apply to mothers, love, patience, grace, are held up in Scripture in significant ways. While most of us are more accustomed to thinking of God as Father, and there is more scriptural language that addresses God as Father, the image of God as Mother is not absent from Scripture as well. In Isaiah 66, God is speaking, saying through Isaiah, for this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. God is saying to the people, as a mother comforts you, that's what my love is like. Jesus himself picks up on this image as he's approaching the end of his life. He's looking over Jerusalem with great grief for the ways the people have rejected God. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Like a mother hen wants to gather her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. The image of that mother hen is one Jesus used to describe his desire to pull his people close. On Mother's Day, it's significant to realize these positive, wonderful images of motherhood are part of the nature of God. That God loves us as that mother, even better than our earthly mothers. That God loves us as a perfect mother, filled with compassion and grace, who wants to pull us close when we wander away, who wants to hold us tight, who cares for us no matter what messes we've made. I know it varies between home to home. Some of you, the father was the disciplinarian, and others, it was the mother. But here we see God filling the role of father and mother, wanting to hold us close, loving us unconditionally, calling us God's own children with all of the power of that image. That's part of the way God loves us. But Scripture doesn't always use this image to describe God's love. In our reading from Thessalonians, Paul draws on the image of a mothering love to describe the way he approached ministry. He's writing to the people of Thessalonica. He's describing his visit to them. The story is told in Acts 17, the first part of that chapter. When Paul went to Thessalonica, he was preaching, he was ministering, and there were opponents trying to undermine him. The religious leaders were trying to put him down, trying to undercut him, undermine his message. But Paul and his group ministered, and we're told that some Jews and many God-fearing Gentiles and many prominent women came to faith because of the ministry of Paul. And because people were coming to faith, the opposition was getting more and more antagonistic, and they drew in some bad folks and stirred up a mob and created some rioting and then tried to stir the rumor blaming Paul for the trouble happening in the city. What we read, what Jackie read to us earlier, is part of Paul's response reflecting on the visit he made. He writes to remind them that what he did in their midst grew out of his commitment to be faithful to the call of God. He reminds them he tried to persuade people of the truth of the gospel. He didn't back off what the gospel teaches. He made no effort to preach a gospel that was pleasing and easy. He was faithful to the message God put on his heart. At the same time, however, he reminds them how he was in their midst. His approach to ministry, his style of ministry, reminding them that when he was there, he ministered with gentleness and with love, sharing not only the gospel, but opening his heart and his life to them, building bridges, building connections, investing in their lives compassionately, gently, and reminding them, we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her children. The image really here is of a mother nursing her baby. It's a profound and beautiful image of a mother nursing a baby with love, compassion, gentleness, support. Paul draws on that image to say, that's the way we tried to live among you. Opening our lives, walking in your midst, caring about you, meeting needs, doing whatever we could to show you that our love is genuine. And he says, this is the way we were in your midst. Like a perfect mother trying to love her child, we ministered to you with compassion and care and tenderness. A little later in the passage, he picks up the father image and says, "For you know that we dwelt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and his glory." Think about what these images describe, like a mother caring for her child, like a father dealing with his children, encouraging, comforting. Beautiful, compassionate images to describe the ways he related to others. And it strikes me that these are words we need to continue to hear and be shaped by centuries later. We live in a world divided, filled with anger, bitterness, brokenness. We live in a world where people are pulling away from church because of the way some folks are living in their faith in public ways. I recently heard somebody talking about Christian evangelism as being all mouth and no ear, meaning Christians talk and don't listen. Now, I don't think that's true across the board. But there are images out there. And in the world where folks are looking at the church and seeing hypocrisy, the call is on us more than ever to recognize that the truth we bring has to be offered in a way that's compassionate, gentle, tender, and filled with a love that comes from Christ. You've undoubtedly heard the saying, "No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care." And so one devotional writer has put it this way: in a world that couldn't care less, we're to be the people who couldn't care more. We're to befriend others so they might discover the friend that is Jesus. And this imagery from Paul ought to shape the way we think about relating to others. For the past couple of weeks, we've talked about our call to reach out into the world. 2 weeks ago, be on mission to do God's work. Last week, more about evangelism and sharing our faith. But our call to speak the truth of Christ in love will be heard most effectively when we commit ourselves to being people who are compassionate and gentle and giving. To treat people with dignity, to listen to other opinions, to develop relationships and build bridges and be a safe place for people to come and find grace and hope. Paul, and with the imagery he's developing, is talking about his commitment to developing relationships, to nurture others, to care for their needs, to invest for the long haul, to be involved in helping people see love in our lives, so that they can hear our talk about the love of God. Those of you who were here Wednesday night listening to Sam Harrell, a missionary, talk about his work in Kenya and struggles that mission agencies have funding missions, said one of the interesting challenges in missions is the growing interest in short-term mission trips. He said, these are good things, but more and more churches are spending money just on short-term mission trips and not on long-term missionaries. And while short-term trips can be valuable, especially when they're part of a sustainable model, there are some things that can't be accomplished in a week or two. Some things need long-term presence, relationship building that comes only as we fund those who can invest their lives in communities. We are called in our own community to move beyond ourselves, to be gentle among you like a mother caring for her children. There's a popular new show this year called This Is Us. One of the characters in the show was an older gentleman named William. He'd had a tough life. He'd given up a baby for adoption. And in the first episode, this now adult, one of the main characters, found his biological father. By the time he found him, William was sick, and through this season of This Is Us, he was dying. And at one of the last episodes of the season, William passed away. And this son, who is driven and business-oriented and goal-oriented, began to process the compassionate nature of his father and was amazed one day when the mailman came in to deliver something and spoke of William, this man's father, the postman, who'd only met William in recent weeks or months walking the neighborhood, said of William these words, "He was a soft arm for weary souls to lean on." He was a soft arm for weary souls to lean on. And I quickly grabbed my phone and typed it in because I said, I'm going to use that one day. That's not a bad way to be remembered. A soft arm for weary souls to lean on. You've heard, if you attend regularly, you've heard me quote Fred Craddock on any number of occasions. Craddock is one of my favorite preachers, passed away in the last couple of years. A wonderful teacher and preacher of the gospel. And he tells in one of his books about growing up in church. His mother took him, his dad didn't go. His dad didn't want anything to do with church. Every so often the preacher would come to visit, and his dad's response when the preacher would come to visit was always this, "I know what the church wants. Church doesn't care about me. Church just wants another name, another pledge. Another name, another pledge. It's all they want, right?" That's the name of it. When the revival preacher came, it was always the same thing. Church just wants another name and another pledge. Throughout even Craddock's calling and ministry, his father was convinced church just wanted another name and another pledge. Finally, nearing the end of his life, Fred says, "My dad didn't speak those words. He said, I must have heard him 100 times, but not one day when he was in VA hospital and Fred went to visit his father. By this point, his father had been sick a while. He was near death. He was down to 73 pounds. Surgeries and treatments had taken a tremendous toll. He couldn't speak anymore. He couldn't eat anymore. And Fred talks of going into his father's hospital room and noticing the room was filled with plants and flowers and a stack of cards 20 inches tall. He spoke with his father. The father nodded and made symbols and gestures back at him. Fred said, "I picked up one of the cards, looked at it, was reading it. I looked and saw the flower on his tray. I saw all the different things, and I realized they were all from members of my mother's church. Everything in that room, a gift from somebody in the church." And so Fred says, "I was reading these cards, and my father grabbed the Kleenex box and a pen and started writing something. He wrote, 'In this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story.'" Words from Shakespeare. Fred said, "I looked at him and said, 'What's your story, Daddy?' And his dad wrote simply, 'I was wrong.'" He had seen the gentle, compassionate love of God's people. And he knew his perception of church and the gospel had been wrong. We're called to love gently, like a mother caring for her child, in practical ways to invest and pay attention and love. Wondering to ourselves prayerfully today, how many people out there need to experience godly mothering love, fathering love through you and me? Several years ago, I saw a column written by Tony Cartledge, who teaches at Campbell, who described driving to work one day, sitting in a stoplight, looking in his rearview mirror and seeing a young woman in the car behind him who was crying, not just slightly, but just boo-hooing, he could see in the rearview mirror of his car. About the time he thought, what can I do? How can I help? The light changed. He had to go. That car turned off soon thereafter. But he said, I drove on and I found myself praying for her. He writes, I drove on, reminded again that we never know what's going on in the lives of those who cross our paths or share our roads or serve us lunch. For the rest of the day, I looked at everyone I met a little differently and sought to be a little more attentive and a bit more sensitive. This is the call to the church. To see others. We don't always see on the surface what's going on in people's lives. But to reach out, to care, to love, to be that soft arm that weary souls can rest on. As we go out into God's world with a gospel worth sharing, let us do so as Paul did. With love like a mother caring for her child. Will you pray with me? Thank you for loving us, Lord. Help us to love as you love, to see as you see, and to care as you care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come to respond to God's voice. Our hymn